This is Sicha on the first Purim Sicha of Likutei Sichas Chelek Tes Zayin. Likutei Sichas, chapter, volume 16, Purim Sicha number 1. It's a very long Sicha. It's 20 chapters, 20 Sifim. I'm going to, please God, divide it into two. I'm going to the first 9 Sifim, which is the Nigla, explanation, and then part 2, please God, the inner meanings of all the above, the Chassidus. Says the Rebbe, the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, that Esther sent to the Megillah, the Babylonian Gemara, Talmud Bavli, Esther sent to the Chachamim, to the sages, Kivuni Lederes, establish me for perpetuity, for all the generations. In other words, Esther asked that there should be a day of celebration fixed for all the Jewish generations in the future on the 14th or 15th day of Adar. What was she asking to be affixed? Says Rashi that it should be a Yom Tov, a day of celebration, and Likriya, and there should be a reading of Megillah, so that I should have a shame, so that there should be a memory of me, that there should be a record of me and of the story. Then the Gemara brings a second statement that is attributed to what happened then. And it goes as follows. Esther sent to the Chachamim, write me down for perpetuity, for all the generations. Which means that Esther asked that the Megillah should be written in a way that it is accepted as part of the other kesuvim, the other holy writings. There's 24 sacred books, the 5 books of Moshe, Chumash, plus the additional books of the prophets, plus the additional books of kesuvim, the writings. And that includes the 5 Megillas, one of them being Megillas Esther. In other words, first, Esther asked only that it should be a Yom Tov, it should be a day of rejoicing, and the Megillah should be read. That everybody should be required to celebrate and recount, to recount the story of Purim and celebrate Purim. But not necessarily would it need to be read from a written account of the Megillah. The second request is that there should be a formal acceptance of the written version of the Megillah. It should be one of the holy writings. And therefore, that would lead to the halacha, which is our reality, that if somebody read it by heart, even if you read the entire story the same way that it was written by Esther and Mordechai, you are not fulfilling your obligation. So this is the two statements that are brought in the Gemara Megillah Bavli. First, Esther asked that the day should be recognized and remembered and celebrated. The second request was that the day, that the formalization of the acceptance of the written version of the Megillah. Section 2 says the Rebbe, Beis, in the Gemara Yerushalmi, in the Jerusalem Talmud. Just by the way, I'm going to stay away just for now from the actual verses, the actual psukim in Megillas Esther. Because in section 3, in Sif Gimel, the Rebbe is going to put it a little bit more into the actual verses. There's a lot of discussion about how to fit it into the verses. I'll maybe give you some background on some, but there are very long footnotes here, and it's there's a lot of back and forth with the commentaries on the Megillah, with the commentaries on the Gemara. So in the meantime, let's follow the path of the Sicha. And then, because the Rebbe himself gives us a very clear understanding of what the Pesukim, what the actual verses are saying. Okay. 2, base. In the Yerushalmi, in the Gemara, in the Jerusalem Talmud, it says, he recounts what seems to be what we were just talking about, but in different language and with nuances that raise a question. Mordechai and Esther, I'm quoting now, Mordechai and Esther wrote an igeres, they wrote a letter, and they sent it to the rabbis. in which they said that that you should accept upon yourself the 2 days, these 2 days every year. In other words, what we're bringing from here is that Mordechai and Esther both together wrote and asked for Purim to be remembered. Not like the Gemara Bavli, which just said that Esther was writing. It says twice that Esther wrote, right, and asked for Purim to be celebrated, and Esther wrote and asked for Purim to be accepted as one of the written holy books. We could say, so is there an argument here that the Yerushalmi says Mordechai and Esther joined, whereas the Bavli said it was just Esther's initiative to get Purim celebrated? We could say that's no argument. You know, we really want to say there's no argument, because if we say there's an argument, it means that there's an argument about what happened factually. We don't like to have an argument about what happened. This is a historical fact. Why would there be an argument? So we could say and reconcile the two accounts of the Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud, whether the request came from Esther herself or whether it came from them both, that we're talking about two separate concepts. In the Gemara of Bavli, the discussion there is about the reading of the Megillah. And that's why Rashi explains Esther was asking for Yom Tov to be fixed. And Rashi comments, she wanted it established for celebration and for reading. Because really what Esther was looking for was that she should be remembered via the reading of the story of the Book of Esther. And this was, by the way, why is it called the Book of Esther? It says the Rebbe in a footnote, because if she's the one who wants to be remembered and pushing for this to be instituted, so we already have a precedent. The Torah is called the Torah of Moshe, my servant, in the Book of Prophets. That's the way it's called. Why is it called the Torah of Moshe? It's Hashem's Torah. But because Moshe gave his life for it, dedicated himself totally to it, it's called on his name. So that would be why the Megillas Esther is called Megillas Esther. Now we know why. Because she's the one that pushed, as the Gemara Bavli doesn't even mention Mordechai, that Esther pushed for this story to be instituted as something that needed to be read every year. And therefore, also, she wanted stage two. Not just it should be read, but it should also be formalized as a holy, one of the holy writings. And these, both of these requests came from Esther, without Mordechai's participation. However, the Yerushalmi, which speaks about a message that came from both Mordechai and Esther, is speaking about the actual general celebration of Purim, to make Purim every year days of rejoicing and celebration and giving gifts to each other and gifts to the poor. As if you look in the language of the Gemara Yerushalmi, that's the way it reads simplest. That the instruction, the request here from Mordechai and Esther to the rabbis was that these 2 days of the 14th and 15th should be celebrated and noted every year. And that Mordechai and Esther jointly asked the rabbis. Whereas the Gemara in Bavli is talking mainly about the actual Megillah. The actual Megillah in its both stages, Esther asking for it to be read, the story in general, and Esther asking for the detailed Megillah to be accepted as one of the writings, those were initiatives of Esther. Okay. Section 3 continues the Rebbe. These three inyanim, the request to accept into the Jewish calendar the 2 days of Purim. When I say 2 days, I mean the 14th, which is the regular Purim, and the 15th, which is for the walled cities, right? Shushan Purim. So these three things. The actual acceptance, fixing of Purim into the calendar. The instituting that the story in the Megillah be read. And three, that the actual Megillah be formalized and formally accepted in the Ksuvim. And the distinction that we made between them, that one, for the general celebration of Purim, Mordechai and Esther were requesting together, Whereas for the actual Megillah detail, it was just Esther. You could say that we see this actually in the story of the Megillah and the verses, the way they're explained. When it says that the Yidden had received, this is going now to chapter 9 in the Megillah, verse 31. It says that the Jews had accepted upon themselves to fulfill these days of Purim. The Pasuk says, as Mordechai and Esther had accepted upon themselves, had instituted for them. So we see the actual celebration of Purim is Mordechai and Esther jointly. Then the Pasuk continues in 2 Pesukim later, Pasuk 32, chapter 9. It says, and the utterance of Esther, which was about instituting the words of Purim, were written in a book. In other words, we can say that this is talking about the two aspects of the Megillah. When we're talking about fulfilling the days of Purim, it's calling them to, that the Jews, by behest of Mordechai and Esther, are accepting upon themselves the days of Purim. Just like the same Lashon in the Yerushalmi. And that was Mordechai and Esther, both requested it together. However, in the next pasuk, when we speak about the actual request of Esther, there it's talking about the Megillah. And the Megillah says that the Maimer Esther, the utterance of Esther, the request of Esther, was at the request of Esther, it was established the words of these Purim. What does the words of these Purim mean? It refers to the enactment of reading the Megillah. And that's why it's called the Divrei HaPurim, the words of Purim, which at least can allude to the speech about the words that you're going to describe through speech, the miracle of Purim. That's about talking about Purim. And then, V'nichtav, it's written in a book. That's the next words in the Megillah. It was written in a book, as Esther had requested. That would be the formalization of accepting the Megillah as one of the sacred writings. So you see it in the Pasuk, and that is called Ma'amar Esther. That is called the request of Esther. If you have the opportunity to actually take out a Megillah, it's quite helpful. Just go straight to chapter 9, verses 31, and then verse 32. You'll see this very clearly. The Jews are accepting Purim upon themselves, and this is a request of Mordechai and Esther. And then we're talking about a request of Esther, which is written in a book. This is a reference to the fact that Esther had two requests, as recorded in the Bavli, to tell the story of Esther and to actually formalize the version of the story as written in the Megillah. The Megillah should become one of the sacred writings. There are various other verses that we need to figure out, because there's a verse earlier which says that Mordechai sent a note to everybody, but... perhaps we shouldn't bring it in because it'll confuse. So you see, there's in chapter 9. If you took out a Megillah and you look in chapter 9 of the Megillah, verse 22. You'll get a little confused because it says, verse 22, it says that Mordechai, or is it verse 20? Verse 20, chapter 9. Mordechai wrote these things and he sent books, sent descriptions to all the Jews to accept upon themselves to do the 2 days of Purim. So there's a bit of a question what exactly that verse refers to, but this is dealt with by the Rebbe in footnotes back and forth and forth and back. If you have time and you want to check its footnote number 12, you can see some access to some reference to that. At any rate, okay. Section 4. But the psukim, if you take out, you'll see it very clearly. Mordechai and Esther request Purim. When we talk about requesting the actual Megillah, both the story and the formalization of the Megillah being a holy book, you see that's Ma'amar Esther. It's being called the saying of Esther. Oh, so now we have to understand, if it's very so clear, why didn't Mordechai join to request the formalization of the actual Megillah? Why did he just join Esther in asking for Purim to be celebrated? Second question, actually Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, and therefore he was from those Chachamim, those sages that had to agree to the request of Esther to formalize the book of Esther. So why didn't he join? he knows he was definitely part of that process, so why didn't he join from the requesting side? So it must be, and just a little snippet here, you may find it interesting to know that Mordechai was actually a member of the Sanhedrin. He went, what it seems, the Rebbe quotes from the Gemara Megillah and the Marsha. It seems that Mordechai went to Israel together with the first going up of Zerubbabel. They started building the Beis HaMikdash, interestingly, through Koresh's permission. It halted at some stage, and that's when Ahasuerus came to the picture, and he continued that cessation of work of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, many Jews went back. Mordechai went back together with Nehemiah, see what could be done. They landed up, the seat of Babylonian emperor actually moved to Persia, because this is still the Babylonian exile. Seat of ruling had moved to Persia. Ahasuerus and the whole story of Purim takes place, and then later Mordechai goes back to Israel. But he's a member all the time. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. So when this request is to formalize Purim, why does he not join Esther in the request? He only joins in the request to formalize Purim and not the Megillah. So we have to say, says the Rebbe, that by Mordechai himself, there must be two ways that Mordechai viewed himself, right? One thing about Mordechai is the way he is for himself. And the way he is for himself, he didn't feel the need to have the Megillah formalized. Esther was asking for it. He didn't join her in that request. And then there's Mordechai, the way he is a member of the Sanhedrin. As a member of the Sanhedrin, so now, even though he hadn't joined Esther in asking for this to be formalized, now he hears the request, and as a member of the Sanhedrin, he agrees with the Sanhedrin that it should be formalized, and Megillah is put into the Holy Writings. Right, so the question is, So we see that Mordechai is involved, but we want to understand why does he not join Esther in actually asking for it? Question number three, what we want to understand is, yeah, everything in Torah is exact. So we have to say that the fact that Esther was the one that asked to be formalized in the Megillah, and the fact that it's only brought in the Gemara Bavli, the Yerushalmi only brings the Mordechai and Esther joint request to celebrate Purim in general, there must be something of note to point out why the Bavli tells this part of the story and the Rishalmi tells the other part of the story. Section 5. So we'll understand this first by understanding the fact that the Megillah was actually written is not just an additional aspect of the saga, so to speak, of the Megillah. It was formally accepted. No. This actually is something intrinsic, and it explains to us what the nature of the miracle was. How do we see this? The Gemara says, the Masechta Yuma, why is Esther compared to the dawn? Esther is compared, La Ayelet HaShachar, to the dawn. Why is she compared to the dawn? Because just like the dawn is the end of night, so Esther was the end of the miracles. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hanukkah took place hundreds of years after the story of Megillah. Megillah was right before the second Beis HaMikdash. Hanukkah was, I'm being caught out here on the history, but Hanukkah was, I think, a few hundred years into the second Beis HaMikdash. So it was a difference of several hundred years. So why is the Gemara is asking, why are we calling Megillah the end of the miracles? The end of, you know, it's not. However, the Gemara answers it's the end of the miracles that were written formally. In other words, the Hanukkah was never written formally. There's no Megillah of Hanukkah. There is some kind of a report in the Megillah Santiochus or whatever. There's various writings, but they are not one of the 24 sacred writings. The last miracle that was written and recorded and considered to be part of the 24 sacred books, Sifrei Kodesh, is the Tanakh, as we know it, is the book of Esther. In other words, that already, and what are we saying? That's why Esther is called the dawn, because she's the end of the miracles. Well, she's not the end of the miracles, but the end of the written miracles, which tells us that there's a different caliber. The fact that it's one of the written miracles makes it a different kind and a different caliber of miracles. So it's not just incidental to have the Megillah written. The fact that it was accepted as being one of the 24 holy writings means it's like the dawn. In other words, it's like the final miracle that was written. So it's why didn't Mordechai join in that request to be written? The explanation in all this, section 6. The difference between Mordechai and Esther. Let's analyze the difference in the function of Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai was mainly occupied with arousing the Jewish people to do teshuvah for the sins that had led to the decree of Haman. For example, he said Mordechai was given the task to join. Esther had given the request that all the Jews should fast for 3 days. But who was the one who implemented that all the Jews should fast for 3 days? Was Mordechai. And we also know that the Midrashim quotes the Rebbe in the footnotes that Mordechai gathered together 22,000 children, and he said he gathered together the Jews, and he aroused them to come back to Hashem, right? Which their departure from connectivity to Hashem was what had caused the problem of Purim in the first place. Esther, however, was not involved in the arousing of the Jews to come back to Hashem. She was in the king's house. She was in the palace, not amongst fellow Jews. And what Mordechai told her is, for this moment, perhaps you're in the kingdom. You have reached kingship, royalty. You came in order to be a pivotal person to save the Jews. And she tried, and she indeed did various activities in a natural way that Ahasuerus should relinquish and cancel the decree of Haman. She came to Ahasuerus, even though she wasn't invited, prepared the meals for Ahasuerus from Haman and so on. So Mordechai was doing the spiritual fuel that would cause the miracle. Esther was doing the work down below. Mordechai was preparing the energy above, and that's what he was doing by the Jews, getting them inspired, getting them to come back to Hashem. Esther was mostly involved with doing the natural activities that would be able to be the salvation of the Jews. She had to go to Ahasuerus and try and repeal the decree. Interesting, says the Rebbe in the footnote, if you look at the ancestry, Amalek, Haman is from Amalek. If you look at the battle, the way Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yehoshua fought against Amalek, what happens? Moshe went up to the mountain, put his hands up, and all the Jews, right? And Yehoshua had an army that were fighting Amalek. So when they looked at Moshe, when the warriors looked at Moshe, they were able to fight and win. In other words, you have here again, like Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai was doing the spiritual content of what was going to bring the salvation, but Esther was carrying out the physical activities that needed to be done to be able to overturn the decree of Haman, as Yeshua was fighting. And later we'll see that... the Zohar, the Rebbe quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says, Moshe said, I'm going to make sure to do the battle with the forces above, and you, Yeshua, do the battle with the forces below. So soon we're going to explain that actually Mordechai and Esther are similar to Moshe and Yeshua. But that's going to be part two. Yeshlema, we could say that in this same, section 6 now, the Sikha, section 7, sorry, Zion. You could say that in the same way, in other words, that Esther and Mordechai had differing roles from each other. Similarly, they also felt differently about the achievement of what the miracle of Purim, what Purim meant, based on their different roles. Mordechai, what was impressed upon him, what he found to be the main point of Purim, was the spiritual victory that the Jews did teshuva. They came back to Hashem, and they came back to Hashem in such a way that they achieved a greater closeness to Hashem, even than at the giving of the Torah. As it says, they received upon themselves the Torah that they had received at Sinai, but then it was done, so to speak, in coercion. Hashem, so to speak, gave them such an outpouring of love. They had no choice but to accept the Torah. Here, the Jews actually stood in a way of sacrifice a whole year. They connected to Hashem, right? So Mordechai saw, wow, this is a renewal of the vow that they took at Sinai in a much more, in a much real, a more mature way. They've actually sacrificed. They're full of conviction now. It's not just coming as something of an attraction that Hashem caused them to be attracted. They're actually now full of conviction. If so, Mordechai even thought, Mordechai's initial intention was that you shouldn't be able to work on Purim. It should be like a yontif. We see this because the Gemara says, it speaks about it should be a yomtif, and then in the later Pesukim, the Megillah, it doesn't have the word yomtif. Mordechai wanted it should be a day you can't work, just like Shavuos when we got the just like on Yom Kippur was a day when we did teshuva, we got the second luchais. So it's a day where you deal with your soul, you don't be busy with work. Mordechai felt that Purim, which should be the same, such a spiritual day. However, Esther, what was emphasized by her, she was there in the palace. She had to go and do things to try and repeal the decree, physical things. She felt most strongly that what needed to be emphasized here is the fact that we were saved from annihilation by Haman. That our bodies were saved. Simply, this is a physical salvation that we had. And therefore, section 8. This way we can understand that when we're talking about remembering the miracle. So Mordechai and Esther both together request the Chachamim to accept a formation of 2 days of joy. It has to be remembered. They both agree on that. However, asking for the Megillah to be formally recognized in a written form, that came only from Esther. Why? Because here we see the difference between how Purim will be, how the message of Purim will be crystallized, and the miracle will be remembered. When you do the days of Purim, even though there's activities, giving mishleach manos, gifts to each other, and gifts to the poor, but still in all, it's all about coming to the mindset of remembering the miracle. However, through reading the Megillah, so first of all, it's verbalized in a formal way. But that's still just, dibur is considered a small deed. It's not real doing. Having the Megillah written, and therefore the full account of the miracle is formally written in a physical way, that becomes something which is more physical, more tangible, more available here in this physical world. So therefore like this, Mordechai, who for him the miracle is more of a spiritual miracle. The Jews all did teshuvah. They really came in a mature way to be convinced and accept Hashem's mitzvahs, even more than they did at the giving of the Torah. So for him, it's a spiritual victory. It's most important to remember Purim in a spiritual way, in a machshava way, in a way that it reminds us, brings us to the mindset of Purim. That's why actually he wanted it, we shouldn't be able to do any work, not to be able to be distracted. However, Esther, her emphasis and her role in Purim was to save the Jews from physical annihilation. So in the physical, it's not enough. She didn't want to just bring the Jews to a mindset. Of course, she wanted to actually be crystallized and formalized in an actually written document that can never go away, that's here to be tangible and to be touched. Section 9, what the fact that Mordechai had requested, accept this, these 2 days of Purim, that's the way Mordechai was, and he didn't join into the request for formalizing the actual Megillah. This is the way Mordechai is on his own. And Mordechai, that's the way he views his generation. He views his generation the way they are from his perspective, spiritual, soulful people. He doesn't see the need to crystallize the actual tangible Megillah. Because in terms of their ruchnias, in terms of their spirituality, it's enough that they come through the, that we remember about the miracle of Purim and do those mitzvahs, and that will bring us to a mindset of thankfulness and celebratory mindset of Purim. It doesn't need to come into the actual formal, tangible Megillah, written with ink on parchment and so on. However, he was part of the member of the board of Sanhedrin that accepted Esther's request to formalize. So what was he thinking then? Because when he's now not on his own, but he's sitting as a member of the Sanhedrin, and he has to now make a practical halacha. And to do that, he has to actually, so to speak, lower himself to try and put on the glasses of the people he's talking to, the people he's dealing with, who are living in a physical world, and a very much physical. So now he's agreeing to accept, with his other colleagues, Esther's request to formalize and make the Megillah, the story of Purim and the celebration of Purim, something tangible to the point that it's an exact document written on a parchment with ink. And in that way, it becomes something that actually can be interacted with even in our physical body. Just like, says the Rebbe in a footnote, like the Tanya tells us, all of our mitzvahs are physical, because the mitzvahs are about interacting and refining the body here. That's what Hashem wants us, to make a dwelling place here in the physical world. And this is what Esther was asking about Purim, and therefore Mordechai, as a member of the Sanhedrin, accepted that, even though on his own he didn't ask for that, because on his own, the way he saw the Jews, the way he saw the miracles, saw the Jews, was more of a spiritual thing. It didn't need the tangibility of actually being written in exact language on a physical Megillah. Till here is part one of the Sicha, to be continued, because section Yud, section 10, is this previous discussion we're going to talk about in the signon, in the style of the Torah of Chassidus. So, to be continued.